This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Surprise Stadium. We have some really good Cowboy angles here for you, some juicy stuff to talk about. Off the top, it's, Eric Berry. How would you evaluate his injury situation and durability? Take a listen to everything he's got going on, because I think he may have been unfairly tagged as an injury-prone player. Check it out. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. By the way, had that new Heineken 0.0 the other night. Delicious. That might be the best. There's definitely a new top three in my favorite NA Coldies of all time. Mike Bassick, Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. I'd like to have you do a blind taste test.
Now, of the NA beers?
Versus the
I'd
Heineken.
I'd like to pass.
The Heineken versus the Heineken NA, the Busch versus the Busch NA.
Is there a Miller Lite NA?
I don't know if you could actually tell the difference.
I'd love to do it. I thought the Busch was fine that I had at Honda Cars and McKinney.
Yeah, it was really good.
That tastes pretty much like beer to me.
Solid light
beer.
It was
very light.
Yeah.
But, I'm not I know skin can like maybe darker beers and stuff. I'm not into the darker beers. I'm into more of your just light beer. And I'm it tastes like a solid light beer.
I used to call that getting light and domesticated. You know what I'm saying? Have yourself a nice little afternoon. Cowboys strike again. Tavon Austin is back. And we were anticipating that. Until I guess it was Monday, he put out this emoji as free agency was starting, like he was surprised and not in a good way. So we were kind of wondering, maybe he's not going to go back, because all signs were pointing last Friday. Fish had reported it. It comes through, though. Tavon's back, and that's awesome. I just think he brings such tremendous energy, and he's a gadget player on offense mostly, but he does the kind of things that can get other people open, and as we saw at times, he can make explosive plays in the passing game, sometimes even downfield.
Hopefully his groin stays attached to the bone,
yeah,
and then you're in good shape.
He's just so twitchy, It's easy to see.
Yeah.
All kinds of things flying off the bone. What do we got? Looking at?
Let me just continue baseball nuggets for just a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem.
The three-pitcher the pitcher that has to face a minimum of three batters, Tony Clark's coming out through Jason Stark and saying, we didn't agree to that.
Oh, wow.
So, it sounds like Commissioner Manfred, they did agree to certain things.
He announced a rule that was not agreed on.
But they're like, wait, we know that you put it in last year and you have commissioner, you have kind of this, you can, but then it has to go through another process. You can't just say, well, remember I put it in last year and you guys said no, so I get to put it in no matter what this year. No, that's not exactly the rules we agreed to. So
very interesting.
So, yeah, we'll
might have a grievance
later, and Mike likes it. Of that might not be happening.
And there's another funny thing happening here before we get to this Eric Berry discussion. As Cowboy fans are now tagging who? John Steven.
Yeah. There's one Cowboy fan without a picture on the Twitter that keeps tagging me and John Steven.
Future head coach of the Cowboys.
And then each tweet has another media member or other random people, but it's always me and John Steven. And he's just talking about how the Cowboys are never going to win because they're cheap asses. And I just keep asking the guy, what do you want John Steven to do? He's at Arkansas buying a geometry book right now. And he's like, well, they need to know. And I'm like, well, he's not they.
Well, hey, we got to start putting the pressure on him early, right? I mean, before too long, he's going to be graduating. And then, 10 or 15 years later, he might have a prominent position in the organization.
Leave that kid alone. You don't need to be making the long play here.
Okay.
You don't think he'll be quarterbacks coach in 3 years?
Good point. Maybe turn around even sooner.
I don't.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how reliable do you project Eric Berry to be? He's missed 55 of 140 games. The Cowboys are investigating this and his health situation. There was a heel and ankle last year. Is that just some leftover, what do they call that, inflammation or recovery from the torn Achilles? Or is it a new injury? Is it a sign of something chronic that's going to slow him down? Is that why the Chiefs released him? And if that's the case, fine. But based on what it looks like from the outside, based on what I know, I'm very, very interested at the right price. And I don't know. Maybe this guy could be at their $8 million threshold that they were thinking with Earl Thomas. He did have the ACL in year two. He had the Achilles. He's been in the NFL for 9 years. And other than those two, it's cancer that caused him to miss, what, 10 games that year? So there's been a couple of big ones. And, you know, but I don't think this is nearly as bad as what Sean Lee is at linebacker, who's had a couple of big ones. And every year it's something that's, you know, keeping him out, or most of the years. I don't want to be unfair to Sean Lee. But yeah, you know, Eric Berry has the last, you know, 4 years that he's played at all, pretty much he's played in every game of the season.
So the one thing I'm kind of with you, I'm just not as far along with you with Berry, but I'm kind of with you like, hey, at the right price, I don't mind. Now I'm going to throw this to Jeff. I know that this matters for the front seven tremendously. What defensive scheme are you playing in? Because a defensive coordinator can make you look good or make you look pathetic based off of what they're running in their front seven. I mean, especially if you just go to the basis of we're moving now to a 3-4 or 4. I'm wondering with safety, how much does it matter that he's played in a certain system? And I have no clue if the Cowboys system matches up with what he's done in his career. Because that seems to matter with NFL players quite a bit if they change teams, if they're successful or fail. And they'll then talk about, well, I did it this way in Detroit, and now it's this way here, and it kind of, I have to relearn the way they want me to do it.
So I know he's really, really good. He's listed most years as a strong safety, which would actually be the perfect fit here, better than the Earl Thomas fit, because the Earl Thomas fit requires us to move our pretty good free safety to strong safety. I think that matters more for the front four than it does for the, well, because this is one of my pet peeves. This is one of my biggest football pet peeves is like when the Cowboys tell you Taco Charlton lined up with his hand on the ground and player X did not line up with his hand on the ground. Therefore, player X is not a fit for our team. It's a lie. What that is coaches somehow getting so stuck in a way that they're pretending that defenses that are basically the same are night and day. Like if you hear, oh, well, that 3-4 pass rusher can't play in a 4-3. Yes, he can, because they're doing the exact same thing. Literally, the only difference is his hand goes down. And on top of that, 80% of the time, you're running a 4-2.
Yeah.
So like, oh, we're a 3-4 team. Congrats. 80% of the time, you're running a 4-2, and that hand's going down.
Yeah.
Or it's not going down, but you're lining up with four guys at the line of scrimmage. Like these defenses aren't different. Coverages are different. So more so for corners, I would think, than safeties. But so the Cowboys, what do they run? Mostly cover three or man, which means they have a free safety who's deep. Their two corners are responsible for a deep third, and then everybody else is kind of dropping into a zone. And so for safeties, I don't think there's going to be anything Eric Berry hasn't seen that the Cowboys are doing. I think he would slide right in and be really good. And I always like to check Football Reference to see if I've heard of their nicknames. Eric Berry, if you didn't know, is known as the fifth dimension.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, the fifth dimension. I've never heard it, but that's apparently a nickname.
If you had to put a percentage on it, what do you think the percentages are the Cowboys are going to be interested? Because I'll say 5%.
Interested or interested if it gets competitive in his market?
I just, for some reason, I have this feeling that they're just going to be like, safety's not a position we pay for unless it was going to be Earl Thomas. I feel like there's part of me that says defensive tackle and safety, if they make over what is considered like a small veteran salary, we're out. Unless it's Earl Thomas or unless it's
I'm a little higher. I get it. I'm at like maybe 25%. I just don't know what the market's going to be.
Yeah.
I anticipate the market's going to be very strong for Eric Berry, and he'll end up with like 3 years and $36 million or something like that, you know, with 15
Indy,
or 20. Yeah,
Cleveland,
something like that. But maybe the rest of the NFL is so far out on it that a prove it deal is possible and under those circumstances. So, yeah, around 25% or so.
Boy, and I guess it was Fisher who made a great point, who said if Cleveland's not interested, you have to wonder because John Dorsey had him for all the great years.
Yes.
So
no,
if Cleveland, if you found out Cleveland's like, no, we can't take her, then you'd be like, hey, this guy must be really hurt.
Okay, tank deal. How is it going to be structured? I find it to be super interesting right now. And I think one of the reasons that they have not done it is they don't want to lower his cap number in year one and string the thing along. So I am fascinated from team building and salary cap management, how this thing is going to be structured. Is it going to be a huge signing bonus and $25 million of cap space getting eaten up in year one, and then another, you know, 23, 24 in year two as they try to clear as much of the signing bonus and guaranteed money as possible? Or are they going to do a contract in the old way that allow? I don't think they are going to do the old way. I think one of the major complications is, yes, we want to get this done, but it's got to be structured in a way that 2 years down the road, we can escape after taking a big hit. And 3 years down the road, we can escape with only taking a modest hit.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's part of the holdup. I would imagine that the holdup is the Cowboys are thinking a lot like you think about Tank Lawrence, where it's, yeah, you're really, really, really awesome. You also had back surgeries, and now you have to have a shoulder surgery, and like, okay, you want $80 million guaranteed or whatever the absurd number is, and they're like, no, that's not what we meant when we said we'd take care of you. Like, we meant reasonable, and that's not reasonable to us. But part of it could be that they're waiting to fill the holes on the roster so they can see how much of his money they can fit into what years. Like, if you sign your guys today, which I know aren't going to get anybody excited, but you signed a defensive tackle for depth. You signed Tavon Austin. So technically at wide receiver, you can survive with what you have. Well, now we're kind of ready to go draft. We could use a safety. We could maybe use a defensive end. But outside of that, we're kind of ready to go. So we know what our cap looks like now. We know what's available to put on there in year one and how we need to structure it. So that could be part of the waiting thing that's happening right now, because I would fit as much as you can right away. Year one, as much as I can fit, that's what goes there. We don't need to play games where we're pushing things around unless we need cap space. And I don't know what they would need it for now, unless you're chasing Eric Berry.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that.
Yeah, and who knows what it, but that would just be so counter to every long-term move they've made so far. It would surprise me at this point. Is that note you wrote down there for today, Mike?
It is, yeah. John Daniels is going to join us at 1:40 for Mike Likes It, and we might still get Mike Minor, but they're working on that right now.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. One other Cowboys thing to get to here. We speculated on what would be next for David Irving. He's spoken.
I saw that.
Yeah, we thought maybe modeling or MMA, but you guys said no, he's too mellow and laid back for that fighting stuff. So, you know, he's done TV commercials, maybe acting. He spoke with TMZ, and he says he's going to do everything from producing TV shows and getting into fashion, and he's already planning to launch his own strain of marijuana. It's going to be 95 OG. Irving says, referring to his jersey number on the Cowboys.
So he's living his best life is what he's doing.
I think so.
He's chasing his passion right now.
Says it's been going crazy. It's been off the hook. I've had a lot of good emails, a lot of good text messages, and good conversations. There's a lot of options and a lot of ways I can go. Is he a big enough star that the David Irving strain of weed would resonate? I mean, I know Cowboys Nation is powerful. Maybe if it was legal in Texas? I don't know. If I had a cannabis farm right now, I wouldn't be like, dude, here's our ticket right now. David Irving's our spokesman. We got the 95 OG coming through in-store shelves soon.
I don't know. If you play your marketing right, it might work, Gavin. Because the way that you spin this is, here's David Irving. David Irving walked away from a business that did not embrace the healing powers of marijuana.
I like it.
David does.
I like
it. David is here growing for us and being our spokesman to try to overcome an opioid crisis in America.
I like it.
Support David Irving.
Yeah.
Support American lives.
A guy that left the NFL. I did see a...
he wasn't kicked out. No, he wasn't suspended and not signed. He walked away for this.
I did see an interesting theory. I don't know if this is caping for David Irving or if it's accurate journalism, but that maybe he had quit the NFL after 2017. So he's going into 2018 just like, yeah, I'm going to get as much money as I possibly can from the Cowboys after showing up and playing in two games, and we'll just see how much they have to pay me based on contractuals.
I'll say sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
He says things are going well, man. I can't complain right about now. Terrell, come get your Tolo back window decal Sunday afternoon from noon to 2. I'm going to be hanging out at the Metro by T-Mobile on Westmore Avenue in Terrell. And we got these decals. We'll also have TMS tickets to give away for the O'Reilly Auto Parts 5 Hunsky, which is coming up at the end of the month.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.